This was an accident, I promise. But it is Wide Receiver Wednesday on the Podcast Daily as our spring position reviews roll along. That is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. And again, Berm, you did this. You wanted alliteration and puns, and you're getting what you asked for.
It's fine. I'm an adult. I realize that in this world, sometimes we have to just take our medicine, and I'm taking it.
All right. Well, I don't mean to keep force feeding it forever. I was not trying to just line up wide receivers with Wednesday for that combination, but here we are. It is the second position review post-spring camp. And is this just going to be about Jeremiah Smith, or can we get it out of the way and then move on?
I mean, I don't think that we need to beat the horse there. I mean, Jeremiah Smith, obviously, we've talked about him a lot. He's going to be very good. I think that we are heading into a situation that none of us would have expected, which is when Ohio State starts its season in late August, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think Jeremiah Smith is going to be the starting X receiver, and I think he will be the receiver that everyone else rotates around. And that's just what I believe. I think he will be the guy who you plug in at one spot, and Brandon Innes, Emeka Ibuka, Carnell Tate, Bryson Rogers, everyone else will rotate in and out of the slot or the Y. But that you are going to see Jeremiah Smith at the X, and he will not just be a freshman who plays a lot. He is the starting X wide receiver for Ohio State.
Yeah. And that part is still almost, even though I've now seen him in five practices in spring and going back to that 7-on-7 in Miami that we went to, I know how good he is, but that's still like hard for me to wrap my mind around that this guy is not only that good that we're putting him in the rotation, but that he is going to be the starter. And I can't envision any other scenario for him. The way that he attacked spring football, every single opportunity we had, save for the spring game, which I think is interesting. I think 80,000 people were expecting a sparkling show, given the way that we talked about it. That was the only time that we saw Ohio State in March or April where he didn't make at least one highlight reel catch. And there were three of them in the Student Appreciation Day scrimmage, if I remember correctly. So, like, that was and the aberration. I think if people wanted that validation on Fox that here he is, like, that didn't quite happen. But I promise you that part did exist in the previous 14.
Yeah, the validation came from what Ryan Day said during the broadcast, which is, we're going to take it easy with him today and be careful. Like, if you're saying that about a true freshman wide receiver, it's saying a lot more than just that. And it's hard to believe that he is as good as advertised, because he was advertised as the best receiver that we've seen in 15 to 20 years. And he's there. And, you know, the expectations are ridiculously high. The words being said about him by his teammates are things that don't normally get said about a guy in his third year, let alone his freshman year. And so, you know, again, there's no point in hammering it too much. Expectations are up here. We'll see if Jeremiah Smith can continue to deliver upon them come regular season time. But from what we've seen so far, there's no reason to expect he won't.
All right, let's set that aside. Other than Jeremiah Smith, what did you leave spring with as your top takeaway for the Ohio State wide receivers?
The biggest thing for me is how much Jeremiah Smith changes things for Emeka Ibuka, and mm-hmm. and in a really good way, I think. I think that this allows Emeka Ibuka to be able to show people that he is able to move around, which is a big part of what he's needed to do. He can be the outside guy, he can be the inside guy. But if you look at Malik Nabers at LSU this past season, or Romo Dunze at Washington, those guys, part of what made them so deadly as a weapon for their offenses were, A, they have elite quarterbacks throwing them the football, but B, they have elite wide receivers next to them. And I think heading into this season for Emeka, prior to this discovery of Jeremiah Smith, that you could look at it and go, well, you know that Emeka's got a lot of talent. You know he's had a lot of production. But if he's going to be the only real weapon in the passing game, or the only known commodity in the passing game, it allows teams to do a lot of stuff to try to hem him in. And I think, you know, we believe that Carnell Tate had the opportunity to alleviate some of that pressure. But now, like, Emeka Ibuka can't be double teamed. And that is a different, that opens up a whole new world for him. And I think that heading into the spring, Ohio State was under the impression that, hey, Emeka is going to be outside, Carnell's going to be outside, and we'll figure out the rest. And now you have a number of options that you didn't have previous. And I think that's the thing that I'm leaving spring going, hey, this is really, really good news for the wide receiver room going forward. But that doesn't mean there aren't questions, because there are, about who's after wide receiver four. There's a lot of questions. But I think that heading into this season for Will Howard, for Devin Brown, whoever the quarterback is, things are a lot more clear than it was 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago.
That finish to the spring with a flourish from Eke Buka was like, that was the validation. Like, if that didn't happen for Jeremiah Smith, and he didn't need it. I've made this point before. Like, we already know what a healthy Emeka Ibuka does for Ohio State, and he didn't have to show anything throughout spring. His decision to come back, I think, has weirdly been overshadowed and not getting enough attention nationally for how good he is. And then he pops up on national television with that one-handed catch. And we're like, oh, Ohio State still has him? Guy who, like, could have been a first-round pick, maybe, if things had broken right for him on a draft board on Thursday night, is back for Ohio State. Oh, and Chip Kelly wants to use him as a rushing threat. Huh, that's interesting. That adds so much to the dangerous element of Ohio State's offense, what Emeka brings. And he'll carry some of that momentum. Again, it's not something that I think that he needed or craved or desired, but it was, I think, refreshing, I think, for Ohio State fans and maybe for us watching it, looking at this offense. Oh, that's the guy that, after the ankle injury and the surgery in October last year, didn't exist again for Ohio State's offense. Like, now you still have to get through a season healthy, and that doesn't just go for Emeka, that goes for the group as a whole. We're going to get into that depth in a second, but the ability to move him around and then still have Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, and then potentially what that means for Brandon Ennis, I think is absolutely critical. But it does, I think, you look at the depth overall is not where you want. I think that puts more emphasis on a healthy Brandon Ennis, which Ohio State did not see in the second half of spring. I think if you're going to find the true potential for Ohio State's wide receivers, like, he's got to be part of that. That allows Emeka then to move around. It does allow Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate to maybe focus more on the perimeter. Like, you've got to have that back. And I know that had to be frustrating for Brandon Ennis. We talked a lot about just the new way of the world where you're behind if you don't get early enrollment and get in for spring, which Brandon Ennis did not get last year. He made the most out of winter workouts. We saw the body change. There was a lot of conversation in the first half of spring camp about how well Brandon Ennis was playing, what that meant for him as he started to find his footing a little bit. And then that was taken away from him. I'm not suggesting that turns it into a concern. I think that's just a reminder and the reality that beyond those top four, and if Bryson Rogers can elevate and help that, great. It looks like maybe the potential's there. I don't know if the consistency is quite yet, but we'll see after summer and August. Like, this is just not a group that is as deep as Ohio State is accustomed to. Again, that doesn't make it necessarily a concern, because the top end is better than anywhere else in the country, but the next wave, I'm not as sure about.
Yeah, put a point on Emeka. Like, when he was coming out of high school in the class of 2021 as the number one wide receiver in the country, like, Deebo Samuel really didn't exist in his current form. And now you look at Emeka and the body changes. He's over 200 pounds, the 6'1", 208, 210 pounds. In Chip Kelly's offense, like, my expectations for him coming into this season were pretty high. But that was when we didn't really know where the direction of the Ohio State offense was going to go. And now in this offense, when you have the ability to use him in the run game, where you can move him around, I think that a Deebo Samuel type year and this Deebo Samuel type deployment is going to be just absolutely huge for him, especially as it pertains to his placing in next year's NFL draft. But because that type of player is becoming so valuable in the NFL. As far as the depth goes, if we look at the top four as Emeka Ibuka, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, and then you throw in Bryson Rogers as five, and I think that's a pretty solid five. Then you get to the question of where Mylon Graham fits in when he gets here officially in like 3 weeks. And between Mylon Graham, Kojo Antwi, Keon Graves, and Jaden Ballard, you're going to need someone else to be ready to go. It's been talked about so much in this offseason by Ohio State and their coaches about how this is going to be a potentially 16 or 17 game season. You're going to need depth. And I think that when it comes to load management in some ways for wide receivers, you're going to need it there more than anywhere else, because Brian Hartline likes to put the same guys out there because he puts the guys out there that he trusts. And I think it's actually an exercise in coaching growth for him to see, like, how much different can you be when you know that you have to change your philosophy a little bit? Are you willing to do that? And Jaden Ballard, you know, we talked to Ryan Day right before the end of spring, and it seemed like the conversation had changed a little bit about Jaden Ballard, and the light was coming on, and he was starting to do the things they needed to see him do. Kojo Antwi seemed to be banged up a couple times when we were in there in the spring. Keon Graves has been banged up all last year. So those guys are all at different points of their development. And I feel a little bit like it's risky to even do this wide receiver Wednesday rewind now, because there's still things that could happen between now and Sunday or Monday when the transfer portal closes. But from the talking to people around the program, like, no one seems to be trying to walk away. And I think it speaks volumes to the tightness of that room. And now the tightness of that room needs to propel each other to be better. And like, those bottom three, whoever they end up being, are going to need to be pushing those top five or top six. And the top six are going to need to be carrying along those bottom three. And that's what it means when you're part of a good team. So it's weird, because we have gotten to the point with Brian Hartline and his position group where we think that if a guy's not making an impact as a sophomore, that he's probably never going to do it. And if we look back to when Brian Hartline took over for Zach Smith in 2018, like, that was not the case. Those were all fourth and fifth year guys. And so I don't think that it has to be that way. And I think that nobody should be like, considering Kojo Antwi or Keon Graves or Jaden Ballard like a failure or anything like that. But clearly, the opportunity is there for those guys to step up, and one of them has to, because they're going to need to get to at least six deep, I think.
It's difficult, because I agree with you, and I never feel this way about evaluating guys, and I buy into the notion of different development paths and taking longer, because we've seen that happen with 4, 5, 6 year guys needing that time to fulfill that potential that we know exists. Like, you don't get recruited and stay on the roster for multiple years at Ohio State if you're not in a very high-performing athlete already. And that applies to everyone we mentioned there, especially Jaden Ballard. We've seen NFL athleticism on display. It just hasn't, all the pieces haven't come together. It doesn't mean that it can't. But it does feel like my perception and the evaluation of Ohio State's wide receivers is different, because they just keep bringing in like the absolute highest of high recruits, like Jeremiah Smith, not just him, but Emeka before that. Even looking at Julian Fleming, Julian Fleming's tenure at Ohio State is largely viewed as underwhelming. And I'm not sure how fair that really is, considering the volume of injuries he has, but that's become the new standard. If you're recruiting nothing but 4 or 5 stars or the best wide receiver in the country year after year, a lot of those guys are coming in capable of performing right on day one. Garrett Wilson before that. I mean, the timeline has changed, and I do think that your point is well made. Like, sometimes we do need to take a step back and be, well, not all of them can do that right away. You want them to, but that's not realistic. And so I try to stop myself. Like, am I falling for something? I get every spring, I get excited about Jaden Ballard doing something that is crazy. Last spring, it was like catching a deflected punt off the ceiling off of his shoe tops and running like 30 yards across the field to do it. This year it was again in a punt return drill where he like jumped over an exercise ball for like, it made it look like it was the most casual thing in the world. Like, it was a jump rope and it was instead like 3 feet taller. Like, am I going down the same road again? Am I being tricked? And like, I don't know. I shouldn't feel that way. Like, he's got plenty of opportunity still to make an impact, and I shouldn't hold it against him that he hasn't yet. And I'm trying not to.
I mean, in reality, we are still in a timeline where Jaden Ballard, if he wanted to, if he's willing to do it, could have 3 more seasons of Ohio State football. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's where we're at. It's weird, but we're also, now, because of NIL, because of the transfer portal, because of everything else, you're going to find Ohio State, I'm going to use this term and know that it's going to be viewed weirdly, but it's like, you also have to play a salary cap game now at Ohio State. So when you have players like Kojo Antwi or Keon Graves, who are maybe right now making the league minimum, those players are pretty valuable, because you can't pay everyone as a first-round pick. So you are going to need to be patient with players like that, because the guys who are making first round pick money are going to be held up against a much different standard than those players. And so, like, the standard is the standard, except for when the standard is decidedly different between a first round pick and a sixth round pick. And when Brian Hartline signed the class of 2022 with Keon Graves and Caleb Burton and Caleb Brown and Kojo Antwi, everyone knew that that class was a developmental class. Like, there was not an expectation with those guys that any of them were going to come in and be instant contributors. Now, unfortunately for them, what happened is that the class of 2023 existed. And when you had Carnell Tate and Brandon Ennis, who people assumed would be automatic contributors, Noah Rogers, who people thought would be an instant contributor, and then Bryson Rogers, who everyone thought was a developmental guy who happened to be much better than anyone believed. And then you have Mylon Graham and Jeremiah Smith. So, like, it's unfortunate for those guys that they've been put in this position where they're being compared to first-round picks when none of them should have been considered that way. And their path has to be different. Jaden Ballard, you know, the funny thing about Jaden to me is we watched him after the 2021 season heading into 2022 at CJ Stroud's pro day, or not CJ Stroud's pro day. It was the pro day for Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. And Jaden was there working out to, you know, give Chris and Garrett a breather when CJ Stroud was just chucking the ball 80 yards downfield. And, like, there were scouts raving about Jaden Ballard, like, raving, like, oh my gosh, this dude is different. And here we are heading into three seasons later, and he can still play three more years. Now, I'm not saying he will. I'm not suggesting that anyone wants that. But, like, I think you can look at it and say, when you're playing at Ohio State, it takes one season. It takes one season for something to click and for the opportunity to match up with the expectation, and for the expectation to be met, and for you to turn into a legend at Ohio State. Devin Smith, who is obviously the comparison for Jaden Ballard all the time because of their high school and the number they wear, like, Devin Smith was a pretty okay player his first couple of years, and then he was an NFL second round pick, and because one season made all the difference. So I'm not going to say those guys can't do it, but obviously it's harder now than ever, and that's a great thing for Ohio State.
Yeah, I do think that it's going, the most fascinating part will be how Brian Hartline manages that, because it does feel like that's a position where the rotation has clearly been pared down to the elite of the top end of the depth chart. Keep them on the field as much as possible. And I understand more than anybody, I think the impulse to do that, if you have Marvin Harrison on your team, you don't want to put him on the sideline. He can't make any catches if he's not in the game. But this is a shifting time in college football with the length of the schedule, as you said. And if you do have to work and develop some of that depth, like, Jaden Ballard's not going to get dramatically better just by working against Ohio State secondary in practice. It does help. It's a huge deal. But you do have to take that to the game field at some point and show what you can do. And that's a different element. So maybe you've made this point about a lot of other positions, Berm. Like, the first 5 weeks of the season, that may be a lot more instructive about what those guys can become than spring football is.
Yeah, and I think it's actually a really interesting conversation around the Ohio State offense, because, you know, when we talked to Bill about this, like, Bill's like, they're going to run the ball all the time. All they're going to do is run. And, like, you know, you look at those first five games and you think Ohio State should be able to coast, and it's not really been in the Ryan Day handbook in the last few years to go out and try to put up 70 on people, but you might have to. Like, if you have a very interesting roster alignment issue here, where you have a bunch of young receivers that haven't had a lot of reps, and you have really good high-end running backs that need the ball. So, like, you have this weird catch 22 where it's like, when it gets into the third and fourth quarter of these games, it should be blowouts. How do you decide what to do? Like, I'm hoping that we are seeing a no holds barred, let it rip, it doesn't matter, you know, sportsmanship be damned type of Ryan Day and Chip Kelly offense, where they understand that if you can't sit there and say, we have potentially 16 or 17 games this year, we need our guys to be ready, and then not play them in the parts of the season when you can afford to play them. You know what I mean? Like, because it doesn't matter if those guys get put into the game in week 14 if they haven't played all season. Like, right. You have to find some way to balance that. And I think it's one of the interesting like subplots that I'll watch for those first 5-6 weeks, because I don't know that all of the conversation in the world about depth and how much you're going to need to play people because of the extended schedule, that doesn't mean a dang thing if those guys don't play in the beginning part of the year and get themselves some important game reps, and get so that if they are forced into important duty later in the year, that they're actually ready.
I think that's what also makes it so fascinating to watch, is that that's true as well for Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis, and Jeremiah Smith. Like,
I know
it's not just the next wave. That'll be the push and pull, I think, in Brian Hartline's mind and Chip Kelly and Ryan Day. It's like, well, these guys have barely played. They've got to be ready for Oregon. Like, I think they already have conceded that point when it comes to Jeremiah Smith, that they're not concerned about it, but we've barely seen Brandon Ennis. Carnell Tate was dealing with a foot injury throughout most of last year. So that, we thought that was going to happen for him. Some of that freshman explosion and the injuries really robbed him of doing so. But like, they're going to want to see those guys out there too in the first month of the season, because they need to have some of those reps and scars and development, because they have to be ready to go to Oregon. Like, that part is going to be, I think, incredibly interesting to watch.
Yeah, I wish there was a way for Ohio, like in spring training when they do split squads. Like,
yeah.
I wish that Ohio State could split the squad up in those first 5 weeks and play half of the guys on Wednesday and the other half on Saturday, and just take like an aggregate score and be like, okay, this was the score this week, because I don't know how you do it. And I think it's funny, like, that is the argument for guys to leave, but it's also the argument for guys to stay. Like, it's such a weird, it's such a bizarre catch 22. It's a great conundrum.
Great conundrum indeed. We'll see. Ohio State, I think, managed it pretty well throughout spring, and that's why we looked back at it on.
Mylon Graham's going to be really freaking good. So, like,
we only saw him after spring, like, working out. We can't include him yet in a spring review.
I know, but he's going to push too. So, like, that's the next interesting conversation. So, I mean, That's that next interesting conversation. It never stops. So there's always the next variable, and Brian Hartline's done a great job managing them. Like, I think what's crazy to me, Austin, is like, as few guys as he's played in the last handful of years, he rarely loses anyone to transfer, and he's not brought in a transfer, because like, he doesn't want to bring in transfers. I mean, you look at last year, they had the opportunity. Multiple guys reached out in the December transfer window after Jeremiah McClellan flipped to Oregon and after Julian Fleming left. And people were like, hey, I would love to be that guy. And like, no, it's okay. Like, we're good with what we have. And like, I think that his guys reward his loyalty by being loyal to him. And it is fascinating to watch, because I don't know how he handles it this year, but I'm looking forward to seeing it.
He's one of those few coaches who can have a guy go into the transfer portal and then realize that he's got much better off sticking with Brian Hartline. And we'll see what that loyalty winds up meaning for Bryson Rogers and the rest of the Ohio State wide receivers now that spring camp is in the rearview mirror for them. This was a breakdown on a Wednesday of the wide receivers on the Podcast Daily. We appreciate you joining us. Probably talk a little bit about the NFL draft and how weird the first couple of rounds could be for Ohio State and why that's a good thing later on this week on the Podcast Daily. It's Jeremy Birmingham and me, Austin Ward. We thank you again. We'll talk to you then.